Welcome, everyone. This is a Board of Adjustment meeting for May the 24th, 2016. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk.
Here.
Gallagher.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Springer.
Here.
Bollinger.
Here. The board is sorry for any delays that we may have caused you, for any inconvenience, but there are rules we have to follow, so that's why we were delayed. Anyway, the board is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is the responsibility of the board to interpret the city's zoning ordinances. They apply to special uses and variances. Each member has had an opportunity to go visit the site in question and usually comes prepared to vote on the item tonight. Could I have approval of the minutes of the March 10th meeting?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Call the roll. Lisa?
Falk.
Aye.
Gallagher.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye.
Bollinger.
Aye. We have a few items tonight. So, but first of all, are there affidavits of publication for all of the items? So I don't have to ask each one. Greg?
Yes, there are, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Case number A is 16-018 at 1008 18th Street. It's an R2 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback from 25 feet to 7 feet to allow a 6-foot high fence along 18th Street and to allow a 8-foot fence along the western property line submitted by Daniel Dimming. Is there an I asked that. Greg, you're yours.
Mr. Chairman, this property is located at the intersection of Central Avenue and 18th Street. It's right up here in the northwest quadrant. As you can see in the area outline here in orange, this is the area predominantly where the 6-foot high fence is requested, and then we have a 6-foot high fence requested here, 8-foot here, and typically we wouldn't see a request for 8 feet. But what is happening to the petitioner's home is that the sun is being reflected off of windows on an adjoining property, and it has a negative impact on the siding. You can see the reflections here in these photographs, and they look like stars somewhat, or crosses that are all X's that are all on the home, and you can see that this is the reflection coming from the adjoining property. The end result is you have warping of the siding that is occurring, and then there's maybe some discoloration also to go along with it, but the siding is actually warping and melting due to that type of heat intensity that essentially is hitting the house. Staff in reviewing this could not find a hardship for the 6-foot high fence in terms of covering the perimeter of the entire yard, or I should say the yard that was outlined here. But in this instance, we do see a hardship. There is no other way to basically shield the value of this property and its being secured from damage from this parcel without placing an impediment 8 feet high. In our code, we do allow trellises and things of that nature to be obstructions in yards, so we would look at this probably in a similar light and look at it as protecting the structure, whereas the 6-foot high fence, here we don't see a hardship for having it be 6 feet in height. Given that, we would say take into consideration the facts in the report, making your judgment.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address? And
my name is Daniel Dimmig. I live at 1008 18th Street. The hardships that I am applying for, well, first, I think the perimeter is not correct. It's from the garage, not all the way around the garage. So, yes, there. The back side, the west side, was already 6 foot. The front side was 4 foot. The hardships that I have are due to well, there's a bus stop there, and a lot of unsavory people come off of that bus, as well as go to that food pantry that's at the next door church. I have small children that play in that yard, and I have people have talked to them and I don't care for that very much. Would fall on the same property line, which is 20 feet off of the street. I also recently had a deer run into my yard and about tackle me, and it can jump a 4-foot fence, as well as my dog can, and which causes a safety concern with traffic and with my dog.
Anything else, sir?
The property line there, the fence line that it's going to continue to be on, has no way of blocking the corner. The hill is actually higher than what the fence would be, and would never, I could have it 1,000 foot tall and never block that corner. I have some pictures here if I could show them to you.
Okay. Does anyone here have any questions of Mr. Deming?
Which corner are you talking about? Did you just reference? It wouldn't be high enough to what?
Can I show you the pictures here?
Sure.
Along that fence line there is exactly where I want to put it back. It blew over during the storm, the tornadoes. That corner is higher. My house is higher than the fence would ever be in contact with the view.
This is where that fence line was, and you can see that there's a difference in the way that the grass looks right along here. Mm-hmm. But there is a downward, as you get out to this area, a downward tilt. So that if you go back to where that is, there's a downward tilt here as you get closer to that intersection. So that petitioner is maintaining that there wouldn't be a blocking of that area given where he wants to put the fence.
That backing out of your garage, would that have any impact on sight distance for you getting onto 18th Street?
No, it should not. Leaving it on the same fence line, I have 20 feet before the street.
Okay.
But you want to, according to this, you don't, that corner you were just showing a picture of, or we were talking about, you don't want to put it on the south side, the fence.
Of the garage, no.
Or of the
house. On the central side.
Is this document, this is where we want the fence? This, that one.
Right.
Right.
Up to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No fence in the yard, basically.
Right. But that
the
picture,
backyard, side yard, whatever.
But the point you were making with the hill, I'm not quite sure I'm following.
I think he's trying to show that there's no, there'll be no interference with sight distance or anything on that intersection. It wouldn't affect the intersection at all.
Right, because we're not going to put the fence over there at all. Okay, all right.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Well, anybody want to speak against it, or?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, sorry.
I do have a mention, you know, for in terms of hardship and such, you know, I don't consider dogs being able to jump fences or deer. That's not necessarily a hardship. That can happen in any location. Deer can walk up to your front door. And dogs, we don't really maintain that. I mean, that's a sort of a self-imposed hardship. So I guess that's where I just wanted to make sure I put my thoughts out there about that.
It's also a very, as you know, it's a very main thoroughfare through the city, and I mean the noise pollution through that area, it's basically a drag strip. I mean, mostly it's the safety of my children. It wasn't really in my budget this year to put this fence up this year, but you know, what can you do when a tornado blows it over?
What is this considered a you know, we've regularly made allowances for things like this, you know, setback allowances for along
18th Street and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for larger thoroughfares. Is have we been regularly doing that along 18th that you can recall?
Not down in this area.
No, we did the ones up north of Crow Creek. We did a couple up there.
We did a couple up there.
Further north,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that a 6-foot high fence, the one on the corner that we approved?
Most of them, yes, they would have had to be 6-foot high fences, otherwise they wouldn't need to come to us.
Right, and so we did approve that one that was on the corner. That was probably...
It was approved by the board.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably like 3 or 4 months ago.
Those on 18th Street, Greg, how far are they back from the curb? 7 feet or more?
Where are you looking?
North of...
that's way up north.
Yeah. Way up north. Are they, is it a customary thing, 7 feet, or...
Wasn't it...
The ones on 53rd were not even given a variance, and they were 6 feet. If you look at the Schaefer Farm subdivisions, some of the others, almost all of them now, are going through a variance proceeding along any type of arterial or collector street.
The ones on 53rd, I think a lot of those were not, I mean, we didn't have a setback. They kind of sailed through because a lot of those were backyards. So the precedent is already set. The fence line was set at the backyards. So it made sense, doesn't make sense to then put a fence in a side yard, which is technically a front yard, at 10 feet back if you have 5 other houses that it's 1 foot behind the curb or sidewalk.
Right.
We did that one up there on 18th, and I think along 18th, I thought there was a little bit of a setback. I don't know if it's 7 feet or 10 feet or 5 feet. And then they wanted something, there was a setback a little bit on the north side too, because she was a corner lot.
Right, and they'd gone from 4 foot to a 6 foot.
Right, they'd gone from a 4 foot to a 6 foot, mm-hmm. But I don't remember, it was set back, but I just don't remember how far.
Well, this is set back pretty far from 18th Street. I mean, it's got to be at least 15 or 18 feet from the street.
It's 20 feet from the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 10 feet from the sidewalk.
Oh, the sidewalk.
Right, 20 feet from the street. It's 10 feet from the sidewalk, which would be, what, probably 9 feet from the property line. Property lines are usually a foot in.
Foot inside, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This will be 7 feet back from the sidewalk? No,
from the property line.
Property line.
Oh, okay.
And how far inside of the property line is from the sidewalk?
Probably about, most cases, there's usually about a foot that separates here. This thing, I don't know if the boundary here is actually following at the correct angle, but at least on our modern sidewalk construction, it almost always occurs 1 foot this side of the property line.
So roughly about 8 feet from the sidewalk.
Yes.
Thank you. Is there a motion on this item?
Yes, I'll make a motion to, okay. I say we allow the variance to the 6-foot high fence along 18th Street and on the west side, and the 8-foot fence along the house to protect from the sun damage from the neighbor.
Could we separate them? The two motions?
Yeah. You want two different votes?
Brad, since they're two different issues?
It's up to.
Two issues. One issue is to vote on the 6-foot fence along 18th Street, and the other.
Sure, I can make two then.
Okay.
To allow, I'll make the motion to allow the variance for the 6-foot high fence surrounding the rear yard along 18th Street and on the west side.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Let's call the roll, Lisa.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 16-018 at 1008 18th Street, an R2 district, has been approved.
Do we want to do the other half of it now?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
I'm sorry. forgot there was two more.
That's okay. I'll make the motion to allow for the variance to for the 8-foot-high fence along the west side, which is along the west side of the house to protect from the sun damage from the neighbor.
Is there a second on that item?
Second.
Would you call the roll?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Two items on case 16-018, the 1008 18th Street and R2 District has been approved. Both items.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Case 16-019 at 6048 Shawnee Court, an R2 District with a request for variance to reduce the required combined side yard setback from 20 feet to 16 feet for the construction of a room addition and a garage submitted by Scott Pearson. I've asked you for the affidavit. Go ahead.
Yes, we do have an affidavit of publication, Mr. Chairman. This site, if you were going up Hopewell Drive, you could enter in over here and come down Shawnee Court to the residence in question. They're asking for a variance, essentially, to help construct an addition and additional garage space approximately in that area. This is the way the building plan is proposed looks, and this is the addition with more living space and then more garage space here. This is an area is encumbered by a floodplain. About 40% of the lot is tied up in what is a flood zone that is part of a detention area in certain regards, but staff uncovered that this area was in a 100-year floodplain, and it restricts, unless there's a permit with FEMA, it restricts building in this area except for some accessory type structures. Staff in looking at the proposal would say that if the board does decide to approve this particular decision, that it enumerates the actual dimensions of the projects that will be contained in the project area, the one being 13 feet 8 inches by 22 feet, and that would be the room addition, and the garage area being 12 by 22 feet. That be part of the order and decision rendered potentially by the Board of Adjustment. I'd ask, are there any questions?
Any questions?
Comments.
But Greg, is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
My name is Scott Pearson, 6516 Woodland Court, Davenport, Iowa. I am the designer and general contractor, and we originally had a request to increase the size of the house just a little bit for a den and redo and remodify the laundry room. Knowing that we couldn't go back into the flood zone, we kind of took that area behind the garage. Right now there's about a 9 or 10 foot high, 12 inch thick concrete wall, which is, it's got a fence on it, but it's very dangerous. They do have 3 kids at the moment. And we're just trying to also eliminate that issue and problem by sloping that side yard on the back side of the driveway, also to get rid of or have a suitable garage for the additional parking. There's a extra car there a lot of times of the year. In-laws and parents are staying with them, extended stays, and that would help get that vehicle off the driveway.
Is there this going to be a foundation type structure, or
full foundation
elevated with strut posts, or
no? It's full foundation.
Full foundation.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions from the board? No questions. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, what's the board's decision?
I guess especially because of the sort of the awkward angle of the house on the one side, and you know, the encroaching into those side yards, it's really not going to change the the capacity of the other guys being able to someday expand their houses. That would be my biggest concern, is as long as it doesn't constrain the next door neighbor.
Yeah, it won't be in the floodplain either.
I don't really see that as an issue.
No, I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah, it will not be in the floodplain either, so.
Right.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I move we approve case number 16-017 for 1648 Shawnee Court.
019.
019, okay. You're up, right, 019.
Is there a second?
When do you amend the motion? He wanted to specifically put in
the
dimensions.
Yes.
Oh, including the dimensions as requested by the city council, or by the
staff. 13 foot by 8 inch by 22 foot room addition and a 12 by 22 foot garage addition. That is in the motion. Okay? There was a second? No.
Second.
No. Okay. Would you call the roll?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 16-019 at 6048 Shawnee Court has been approved. Thank you. Case 16-020 at 2550 Middle Road is a request to reduce the required front yard setback from 80 feet to 20 feet to allow for a 120 square foot monument sign submitted by Mike Bryson. Is there there was an affidavit. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, this site is located, this is 23rd Street. You've got Spruce Hills right here. You have Middle Road, and it's the site of the bank, essentially the bank building. At one time, this area was platted with an 80-foot setback, and it's probably when it was under restrictive covenants, and then it had been rezoned to an C2 designation, but the plat still maintained that setback. Essentially, what we're looking for here is to see that the petitioner wants to place a new sign in this area as identifier, and since the city is doing certain types of construction along both this area here, it'll impact this sign here. So what we're trying to do is accommodate the new sign location, and by placing it in a visible area at a distance akin to what you normally see in a C2 district, this would be the sign that they would be requesting to have replaced or placed in that area, so that they're reducing that setback essentially from 80 feet down to 20 to place in a sign, a monument sign of 120 square feet. Staff in reviewing this proposal feels that there is a hardship that does exist and unfairly penalizing this particular lot, because you just typically we do not see these type lots at those setbacks, so we feel there's a hardship. So we would say that that should be taken into consideration in the board's decision-making process.
Thank you, Greg. Is this sign double-sided?
I believe it is.
And so be tenants on both sides?
It might be visible so that they can see both ways up and down Middle Road is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Okay. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Yes, my name is Mike Byington. I'm corporate real estate officer at Northwest Bank.
Thank you, sir. Would you have anything to say about the sign?
I'm basically here to answer questions. I think the presentation is pretty straightforward.
Thank you. Does anyone have a question?
You're going to remove, I think this is already in there, but you're removing the old sign, and we're going to have a new sign.
We have to remove it because
right.
of the turn lane project that's going to go on by the city of Bettendorf, yes.
Thank you, sir. Is there a motion on this item?
Anybody opposed?
Oh, is there anybody opposed to it? I'm sorry, I forget that.
I don't see
anyone that. Opposed? No. Is there a motion on this item?
I'd make a motion that we approve case 16-020.
Is there a second?
Second.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 16-020 at 2550 Middle Road, a C2 district, has been approved. Thank you. Case 16-021 at 5572 Integrity Way, it's an R2 district, a request for a variance to increase the allowable garage area from 734 square feet to 1,040 square feet, submitted by the Beaver Builders. Is it Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this is the first of two cases. The one following this will regard this lot adjoining. we're looking at garage space in this instance, and the permitted garage space would be around 734 square feet. I believe that the petitioner is asking for 1,040. This will give you the idea of the garage area the petitioner is asking for. And essentially, the in evaluating what has gone in the past, what we've seen is, as long as the design or potential overall structure conforms to the surrounding area, the board has had a policy of ruling in favor of a larger garage as long as it is not informed disturbing the surrounding area. And we may see some updating in our zoning ordinance to look more at the form side as opposed to the square footage side of some of these structures. So it's a different kind of way that we might as staff be looking at this in the future through the zoning ordinance update. But the precedent cited here by staff is that the board has in the past looked at the form of the outline in approving the variance for garage space, and that's, I guess, the standard that we cite in the board deliberating upon this and making their decision.
Thank you, Greg. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Seeing none, is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, the board have a decision on this?
Just a quick question. It complies with the setbacks. Other than, I mean, all they're looking for is a bigger garage, and the setbacks are
correct.
All okay.
And we've also approved a few of them, even in this location, haven't
right.
we?
In the past, yes. Mm-hmm. Their motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve case number 16021 as stated.
Any second?
Second.
Got it. Lisa, would you call the roll, please?
Oh.
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Molliger.
Yes. Case 16-021 at 5572 Integrity Way in R1 District has been approved. Case 16-022 at 5594 Integrity Way, a request for a variance to reduce the allowable garage area from 720 square feet to 1140 square feet, submitted by Bob Bucher. Greg, it's up to you.
Mr. Chairman, this is just a lot that was adjacent to the one that you just looked at, and request is somewhat similar, a little more square footage, but you can see again the contiguous nature of the way that the design is similar to the last house you just looked at. And evaluating this again, staff would cite the consistency that the board has maintained in making these type decisions regarding garage square footage and the overall structure and appearance of the dwelling unit relative to the addition of the garage. So I would just simply cite that precedence in your decision making.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Seeing none, is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, the board have a question.
Same question. It complies in every other way with our zoning ordinance.
Setbacks, yes.
I move we approve case number 16022 at 5594 Integrity Way, allowing the increase in the size of the garage from 720 square feet to 1,140 square feet.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call the roll, Lisa.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Molliger.
Yes. Case 16-022 at 5594 Integrity Way in R1 District has been approved. Case 16-024 at 3911 Sparrow Court in R3 District. A request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 10 feet to allow construction of a 24 by 10 foot deck, submitted by Sampson Construction. Is there, go ahead, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this is located down Belmont Meadows 3rd Edition. Essentially, it's one of the last houses adjoining the antenna farm down here. And originally, there had been issued a building permit to permit this deck to protrude to the same setback level pretty much as the pool. The pool, though, has a different standard in that it can be set back only 10 feet off of the property line. This deck here would have to be set back approximately 25 feet off of that property line, but the permit had already been issued for this configuration. So what we're attempting to do here is not permit a non-conforming use by addressing it vis-a-vis a hardship request, and that is to permit this area to protrude back into the setback. A variance effectively acknowledges this is taking place, but then this variance, upon being recorded, does not make this non-conforming any longer. And that's a very big key in terms of the future conveyance of this house, because many lending companies send an appraiser out, they'll look at this, they'll say, you have a non-conforming use. If it doesn't typically get addressed, then it's a possible encumbrance upon transferring the property. We had a bunch of these up on Devil's Glen Road in one of the Maple Glen, well, three of the Maple Glen additions, and we had to rectify the entirety through a plan or PR overlay, district overlay, and go through maybe 18 different lots to remedy them. So they had many difficulties up there in terms of transferring property and getting loans to the people who wanted to buy these structures. We're trying to remedy this situation so that this property is more easily conveyed without having this encumbrance here, that encroachment into the rear yard. So that's why staff supports or looks at this and believes there is a hardship and would make that statement in your deliberation on granting any variance.
Thank you, Greg. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? State your name and address, please.
Joe Sampson, 4109 Rockingham Road, Davenport, from Sampson Construction. It was a mishap where the permit was accidentally issued without knowledge of the setback, and it wasn't caught at the inspection of the footings. It was caught upon final inspection, so the deck is in place. And upon that, talking it over with the building inspectors, they suggested that we go through this process once again for the future history of the house and future buyers, and that they don't have issues. I will say that, on the print there, it says that it's an above-ground pool. The pool is actually a hybrid that can be buried as much as all the way up, and on the deck side, it is buried pretty much to ground level. The deck is one step off the ground. It's not, I guess I would consider it borderline a patio versus being something that's a structure that's raised up off the ground.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
No.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, would the board have any questions from the applicant?
Not from the applicant, but from staff. I just want some reassurance that by this board, if this board approves this, that we have only reconciled a situation that occurred because of an error and not established a precedent for other properties in that area.
I don't know if you could make any statement in the minutes, and that's significant enough. I don't know if our legal counsel would elaborate on that or not.
I'd say if the motion includes the fact that the board finds a hardship in the fact that the deck has already been essentially constructed, and that is why the motion is being presented, then that would satisfy that situation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Is there any discussion further from the board, the applicant, or anything, or is there a motion?
I move we approve case number 16024 at 3911 Sparrow Court to reduce the required setback from 25 feet to 10 feet for that deck, stating in the minutes that the purpose of the variance is to rectify an error that was made, not to on the fault of the homeowner, but by the city.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion is second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Yes. Case 16-024 at 3911 Sparrow Court in R3 District has been approved. Case 16-025 at 3128 Mary Knoll Avenue in R1 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 feet to 26 feet to allow construction of a 14 by 16 foot room addition submitted by Sampson Construction. Is there an affidavit? I'll ask you that before. It's a habit, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this house can be accessed by coming up Field Psych Road and then Mary Knoll Avenue. And here's Cardinal Road right here. We have a detention area right there in back of this structure, that lot. The request is to put an addition on and then a deck on in this area back here for this particular structure. The addition of what you're looking at here for the deck is in this area right here, room addition right here. Staff in evaluating the proposal notes that yes, there is an outlot area back here in back of the lot, but at the same time, there is a uniformity of setback that has been maintained in the rear yard with maybe some accessory uses here and there that might be in here. But at the same time, there is no permanent structure or attached structure to any of the adjoining properties. And evaluating this, staff could not find a hardship for this particular proposal and would ask that you consider those facts in making your judgment.
Thank you, Greg. Is there an affidavit, or excuse me, is there anyone speak wish to speak in favor of this request?
Joe Sampson, 4109 Rockingham Road, Davenport. The drawing and the request are just slightly off. There's an existing walkway in there, and part of that, if you put that drawing of the deck back up again, the deck on the far left-hand side is existing right now, and the distance it's built behind the house, which is approximately 3 feet, that is to the setback. So they have 3 feet. So as far as the room addition goes, it would be the support post for the room addition would be 9 foot into the setback, and the room addition itself would go 11 foot into the 40-foot setback. Where the original deck is, and when I originally met with this client of mine, they wanted to put the room addition in that location. And I guess the hardship would be if you see the top of the house, it's very, very difficult to try to do a roof line in that area with the hip style roofs and the valleys and the way everything ties in to be able to have any way to release water. So that was the reasoning for moving the sunroom around back.
Would this be elevated or would be foundation?
Yes, it would be, the room itself would be approximately 10 foot off the ground.
10 foot off the ground, okay. Anything else, sir?
No.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there questions from the board?
I'd just like to note, Mr. Chairman, that this is one of two cases this evening that I need to recuse myself from.
Okay, thank you.
I guess my comment would be that those houses look to have been built specifically to those setbacks to maximize the buildable area on that lot. All of those have that same issue. They've been maximized for whatever purpose. So I guess I don't really see how if you build it to your allowable setbacks, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that it should then be a hardship to come back even under new ownership or whatever, and say that you need to reduce the setback because you need to build on.
Any other comments?
The houses obviously take up a large percentage of these particular lots. The saving grace is that there's that lot behind them that's going to be there forever. So if I was buying that house, I'd like that outlot being back there as opposed to a multiple family property, which would be the next option. But
so if this were on the other side of the street, would that be make a difference?
If it was on the other side of the street, there'd be, in my mind, no way to do it. So that creates the issue. I don't know the answer to that question.
To me, as long as that is an outlot, there's nothing going to be built back there. And also, I like to see people get the highest and best use out of their property if it's available, you know. And there's still, how far, Greg, from the lot line is this new structure?
If you look at the structure and it encroaches 11 feet, you're still looking at, I believe, about 29 feet, because atypical in the R1 district is a 40-foot setback in the rear yard. So I believe if this is going to go 11 feet into that, then you're looking at 29 feet back to that detention area.
There's still quite a bit of distance to the rear. And other properties along there could eventually do the same thing if
they make, it's up to this board or whomever to make that decision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be hard not to permit it if you want, once you start.
Wait, so once you do it once,
yeah,
right.
Once you do it once, it's going to cascade. And that those homes were specifically built to that setback. They were built to maximize, if that house had been proposed with that room addition initially, it wouldn't have been allowed to be built. Not with those dimensions. It would have had to meet the setbacks initially, even though there was an outlot there.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a beautiful area.
Yep. These things are always difficult. Mm-hmm. There is truly, in my opinion, no hardship in this case. And we have these rules, and we are supposed to be living by these rules unless there is a hardship that develops. So I have a difficult time just completely tossing the rules out, so to speak. So if I'd make a motion that we deny case 16-025 at 3128 Mary Knoll Avenue.
Is there a second?
I second.
There'd been a motion and a second to deny the case 16-025. Would you call the roll?
Falk?
Present.
Gallagher?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Gallagher?
No. Case 16-025 at 3128 Mary Knoll Avenue has been denied. Case 16-026 at 3780 Jenny Lane, R1 District. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable garage area from 720 square feet to 880 square feet, submitted by Brian Daxton and Amber Armholst. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, off of Monks Road and coming down Jenny Lane, you come to this lot, and this got replatted. This used to be a different area called Merlin's Addition, and it had a much larger footprint to it, and then it got spliced up into these two lots eventually, which were replatted about a year ago. This lot here is the one the petitioner wishes to use to build a home and then also place a garage on it. and they would like to have that 880-square-foot garage on this lot. This structure here, this garage, will be removed prior to any construction taking place on this site. And there are other conditions as well that accompany this lot that were listed in the report dealing with this entire replatting as it had occurred. Let's give you an idea right here, the garage being essentially here and then the structure itself being right there. That is the plat plan. This is an example of how the house would look. And here's your garage structure right here. And again, when looking at this site, these are comparable, I guess, neighborhood photos that John had taken to indicate the type of designs that have occurred within this neighborhood area. Again, we're looking at the issue of the board having approved other variances for garage square footage and the fact that this structure, when you look at the way this is entailed here, and then you go and you take a look at something like this, and then you see that same configuration here, and a slightly different configuration as the garage is over on the other side, but again, more garage space within this neighboring area and this design here, and these are more modern, and then you see another garage space here and this one here. So again, as long as this is in a neighborhood area that has the same type of arrangement, staff in reviewing this felt that the board had a consistent position of approving this type of garage space variance, if you will, and we would only ask that you take that into consideration in your deliberation.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
My name is Brian Daxson, 19490 258th Avenue, Bettendorf. I'd just like to let you guys know that that adjacent property line shows that garage. That garage is no longer on site.
Mm-hmm. I know when I was there, it was gone.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, sir?
Nope.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No, I don't see any problem with increasing the size. I think we need to have an agreement not to sever the lots. I assume that's part of the deal. And that
is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
I was for.
Go ahead and speak then, sir.
My name is Waldo Arnholz. I live on 5839 Little Lane, just down the street from this lot.
Okay.
All the homes in that area are 3- and 4-car garage homes. And I have no opposition to this going in. It blends in well with all the other homes that are in the area.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, questions from the board? Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve case 16-026. For the request to move from 720 square feet to 880 square feet on the garage.
Second.
So, got a second? Mary, from Rice, okay. Lisa, call the roll, please.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Wilder?
Yes. Case 16-026 at 5780 Jenny Lane, R1 District, has been approved. Mm-hmm. Case 16-027 at 4555 Utica Ridge Road. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback for parking from 20 feet to 0 feet and to reduce the required sign setback from 20 feet to 5 feet, submitted by Katie Summers. John?
Mr. Chairman, this site is a commercial site. It's, I believe, the REMAX location, or has been known as that. And what the petitioner is looking to do is allow more parking out front here, and then where the sign gets displaced, that the sign might be moved to another location. And that's essentially what you're looking at. There's a mock-up here that John had made showing where this parking would go further out front. and it's comparable to what you're seeing right here, even though the church is in a different locale. But the issue here is that this was already approved as part of this site plan, and I believe this was done maybe 2000 or 2001 in that time frame. And all of these parking places, John's highlighted to indicate that the parking had been anticipated to already be in this setback as a part of this overall design for this building. This is what you're essentially looking at, is the parking being installed and then this sign here being relocated. With the parking going in, there will be the ability again to maintain the same separation distance as you have in the back. And due to the increased amount of people using this structure and their patrons, the parking now has become more essential to the operation of the business. We see this along Devil's Glen Road with Hy-Vee. This parking had already been like this even when we had an older structure there. But the more pronounced version of this is what we see over here at Home Depot, and then further out, and as you go further out into some of the areas along Utica, well, right here, for example, just right along 18th Street, you've already got this in this area. But almost every portion of Duck Creek Plaza has parking encroachment that has already been a part of what the design was, and it was permitted as an existing non-conforming. The situation here is that this is already approved as a site plan, and we already went through the process of seeing what happened when the building permit was issued. But this is approved by City Council, it already went through, and it's just a matter now of looking at it and seeing, okay, this design is essentially something that is in place. The thing that this body can do, though, is make that parking conforming by stating again that a hardship is here. This has already been approved by City Council, by staff, some 16, 17 years ago. And by a variance being approved, you're recognizing this is now conforming. And since you do have parking that is adjacent to this structure that is already in that same format pretty much, you're not really seeing anything that is going to be out of place within this very busy district. So staff, in looking at this, would recommend that you evaluate the precedent and the fact that we do have a great deal of this type of parking already in existence within the city limits, as well we have an approved site plan that indicates this is where the parking would be for this particular structure. And we just ask that you evaluate those particular facts in making your determination.
Thank you, Greg. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
I do, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jay Summers. I'm a resident of Bettendorf, Iowa, and I'm also the spouse of the petitioner. And I don't know what else I could add to what the previous gentleman stated. I would echo the things that he had mentioned. And to, I guess, buttress our request, is there's no availability of off-street parking here, let alone on Utica Ridge Road or Crow Creek. Caveat to those two respective streets is I don't anticipate in those, either of those locations, those streets being widened at any point in the near future. Therefore, no need to amend the setback, if you will, and the fact that it was already approved, like the gentleman before me indicated, some 10 years ago, I'd request the board move to approve it and grant the variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? You do have a letter of opposition, I believe, Greg. Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
There was one, I believe there was one opposing individual who was further down on Utica Ridge Road who was not supportive of this particular proposal.
Okay. Another question, how far from the sidewalk would this be? Is there the green space between the sidewalk and the parking area?
There would be a buffer area created, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon?
There would be a buffer area created, Mr. Chairman.
And how wide would that be?
It would be, I think it's a seven feet, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. How far?
7 feet, sir.
7 feet from the sidewalk to the parking area?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then the sign would go in that 7 foot area? Or is the sign would go where?
The sign would go in that 7 foot area, correct.
Okay. And would the sign impact?
Essentially in a parking spot. What would be designated a parking spot would, we would designate a green space area for the respective sign.
So the sign would actually take up a parking space, which is that. It wouldn't be in the 7 foot exactly. It would be within the area that you want to expand, but it would take up a parking spot.
That's correct, Mr. Gallagher.
What was I thinking about? So it'd be 7 feet from the sidewalk, and would it impact the sign? Impact any traffic turns or anything onto Tanglefoot or Crow Creek Road?
Would it be fair to say that the sign will be placed in one of those spots so that it won't interfere with the site distance for the intersection? I mean, you can work with the city with that, can't you?
There's a 35-foot distance here, and essentially you have a triangle. That's our requirement. So the sign would not be placed in something like this if we determine how many feet back this distance here along the paving and this distance 35 feet is, and then of course we have that triangle that we put in there. So that sign would not be permitted within whatever that 35-foot triangle area is.
But it appears to me there's plenty of places that it could be placed there and still be out of that site triangle. So that shouldn't be a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the sign, in essence, would go to the south of that corner. Is that correct, Greg?
Yes.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chairperson, there is a current sign already at this location. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't appear to be depicted on the mock-up with the parking spots. You can see it. It would be, yes, that is correct on the letter D of
right in there.
That word, correct.
Any questions from the board?
I do have a couple of things. I guess my question is, so the site plan that was approved, it was approved for 80 spaces, but yet some of those spaces were left out. So I guess my question would be, how did that even occur? And then, yes, the site plan was approved, but according to this site plan, there was supposed to be, it looks to be, about a 20-foot setback to that row of highlighted parking, spaces 22 through 38 or so. And yet, you know, I didn't go out there with a tape measure or anything, but we're being requested to reduce the setback to zero. So I guess I'm trying to get some clarification as to the dimensions. We're being requested to set the setback at zero for the parking. The original site plan looks like it was within normal setback requirements. And somebody mentioned 5 feet of buffer. So I don't know.
If I recall correctly, in the report, there is a notation in staff report that the building was actually built closer to the street than was originally proposed.
It did say that in there.
And that would take up the difference, or some of it at least.
Mm-hmm. But then at that time, wouldn't we have had to then, the site plan would have had to been altered. And wouldn't that have had to have been approved
I don't know what proceedings, again, this, because when I arrived at least, and I don't know that anybody else on staff was even in a position to oversee any portion of this proposal. This has predated me about maybe a year or two. I think it occurred either, in early 2001 or it was 2000 or 1999.
So what is the distance that we are going to see between the sidewalk now and the parking, the edge of the pavement? Somebody said 7 feet, but the variance says zero.
Do we know how much the building was actually moved initially? I mean, it shouldn't be too difficult to...
You have to go out there and measure it, which I didn't do.
No.
So is the lot line 7 feet back from the sidewalk then, Greg?
I don't believe that it is. It's hard to tell from this, but I would probably say again, it's probably there's a 1 foot separation, you know, potentially there. I mean, if it's designed the way we typically design things today, it would be about a 1 foot difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would hate to see this go up to 0 feet, which is be 1 foot from the sidewalk.
And if you go to the north there, that church, if you look at that picture there, that looks to be, you know, I'm just guesstimating 10 feet that they've got.
Back from the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm. The one to the south there looks like it's fitting the 20-foot normal setback. So I guess my talking around it, my issue is, how did it happen? And we're playing catch up because it's something happened in the building of the thing, and they ended up not putting in as much parking as was required to initially. You know what? How do we approach that?
Can we ask? Can we request more information? Maybe a better site plan as far as specifics on how close these spaces will actually come to the sidewalk? I mean,
they would be very similar to the building north of Pearl Creek Road as depicted in the attachment B up on the screen now.
So if we were to set the setback at that distance,
that looks like,
you know, whatever that may be.
They said they were going to have a 7 foot setback from the sidewalk, so 7 feet back. Does that give enough room to park, other than if it went diagonal parking?
You have to remember, typically we look at 25 or 24 feet in these aisles.
To turn around
in. Needed for that separation to permit the vehicles to move freely.
So then you would want, a parking space would generally be 19 feet deep in order for that bumper not to overhang onto a sidewalk. So if that arrow there is 25 feet that he's showing, you'd have to add another, you know, 20 feet.
I wonder what the size of that sign is, because that would be pretty, I mean, that sign's square there, or rectangle, or whatever you want to call it, because that might tell you. I don't know.
You don't know how big the sign is, Greg?
I don't know how many feet it is, no. I don't know what the dimensioning is on it. Let's see if there's a...
It appears that two things have happened since the original site plan was approved. One is that the building was set in a different spot. Plus, it appears to me that the street has been widened.
Correct.
Yeah,
since then.
The hospital came in, that's the whole right. area got mm-hmm. widened.
So
yeah, it's getting squeezed there.
So there is a little bit of a squeeze. So that makes mm-hmm. that makes the dimensions, you know, that's going to throw the dimensions off from what we're looking at here is really irrelevant to me.
That's something I think in the past we've acknowledged that setbacks can be changed if there is a right-of-way acquisition that diminishes the amount of land out here maybe, and then that setback is played with a little bit because it's not the same any longer, and then, you know, consequently you're much closer to the street then.
That's a very good point. And was there right-of-way acquisition that you
typically know? if there's a turn lane, if this was at one time, and my recollection isn't that good, but you do have a turn lane right here.
Mm-hmm.
that goes here. And if this was at one time,
although that's
just
sidewalk,
two lanes, you know, I can't recall. I don't know.
I believe there was additional turn lanes
right.
put in because when the hospital was built, that
right.
was part of the deal.
And you can see where it changed where the turn lane tapers.
You can see this right here, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and how this gets narrower.
Does anybody know how wide that? Katie, do you know how
that
wide your sign is?
I have some.
The dimensions for the sign are right here. I printed
oh.
some copies.
Okay.
And if I may, for just a minute,
Thank you.
The actual aerial view, I actually took the parking from the building to the north of the subject property and just taped it in so I could see that some of the landscaping is covering the sidewalk. Probably a more accurate description or depiction of the parking would be the parking to the south. So the landscaping would just be shut back just a little bit so that it's offset so you can see that there's still a sidewalk.
So behind the sign, is there still 7 feet to the parking area? From the, well, we can't see the grass area. Is there still 7 feet or is that reduced down?
From the sidewalk to the parking is the setback. The 7 feet.
7 feet.
Correct.
Okay. So I think one of the questions that's being raised here is if the parking is only going to 7 feet from the sidewalk, and if the lot line turns out to be indeed a foot inside of the sidewalk, as is common, mm-hmm. why do we need a variance to zero to accommodate the plan that they're proposing? Is that the question?
That's the question. Yeah.
Would a variance to 7 feet work is the question.
That's the question. Would a variance of 7 feet work to accommodate the plan as you have proposed it? Because sometimes we do get these requests for things that are well beyond what you really want to do. And sometimes that, you know, that seems to impose a hardship on everybody else. Mm-hmm. So if 7 feet works for you, then that might be a lot more palatable in this situation than a zero.
Well, and I don't think it fits the character necessarily of this particular corridor to get it at zero.
I agree.
And mm-hmm. it's not that we haven't done zero before in many of those cases that Greg pointed out, but those are also in some much more intense usage areas and not necessarily on the fringe of a, you know, kind of a neighborhood area and just a slightly different character. So I guess that's my biggest concern too about the zero setback.
So is there a motion?
Well, I guess the question is, do you know whether seven works?
We've proposed it with the 5 foot setback from the sidewalk, so I'd have to go back and double check to make sure the parking is there. So
okay.
If we can make the 7 feet work, that would be fine. I think we're worried about the sign being too close, which is why we set it back to the 7 feet more. That's more accurately where the sign is now, maybe a little bit further up. So,
but you can move the sign further in than the park, and you can put a little grassy area. Put
right.
You're going to lose a spot anyway.
We already planned to forfeit a spot based on it.
So you can adjust that back.
Correct.
Easier than the park, I think.
Correct.
Right. I mean, there are really two issues. The sign is the 5 feet setback, right? The request is for 5 feet.
Right.
And if I read in here correctly, it said Miller Meyer also had 5 feet, right? Did I read that in there? I gotta put my glass in. It's down here. Yeah. I've been scrolling around. There we go. Yeah, the sign's right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to comply with the same setback that Miller Meyer did.
So I would say it seems reasonable to me to apply that same standard to this
sign.
The other issue would be the setback for the parking, which That would be my question, is the parking setback. The request here is stated to be zero.
The way you might gauge that is to look at the length of these, if you can see that, these parking stalls and the way they've been marked, and try to guesstimate how that may fit over here. And that'll give you at least a rough idea of what you're maybe looking at. And that's 18 feet by 9 feet, typical parking stall for commercial. So as this is going to taper up here. It really begins to start maybe right about here, and you begin to see this curve come in. So it's hard to say how those spaces may fit in to this area, but it gives you a rough idea at least that it would fit here. But as you get closer and closer here, these spaces are going to be very difficult to not have them come back to that setback that's very close to zero, if any.
Mm-hmm. Northern portion is going to be close to zero, and the southern portion will be at least seven.
Yeah, good taper.
I'll make it turn.
Anything else of the gentleman?
This is a difficult conundrum.
So in essence, the taper is going to affect the 7 feet.
Yeah, at the northern end.
At the northern end.
Yeah.
So it could down to could go down to 4 or 5 feet, technically.
Even on this one.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't even know if this space here may fit in this area at all as 18 feet, because we don't know what that distance is right here.
It looks pretty shy.
And then, you know, you're looking at really, okay, what's this distance versus what's this? And then you have to figure that point at which there's no longer 18 feet here, and that totally can remove that parking, because certainly it's not a space and we're not going to allow it in our right of way.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the request tonight is to have a 0-foot setback. So if the board approves the variance this evening, the parking could go presumably all the way up to essentially the sidewalk. If the board feels like it needs a little more information or would like a more detailed parking plan submitted, the board could move to continue the public hearing to the next regular meeting to allow the applicant to present a more detailed parking plan if you feel like that would assist you in making this decision.
I think that's a good idea, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right with you, sir? We'll defer this till the June meeting.
Yeah, I mean, we want to make sure the board is fully educated on what our intent is, and if a updated graphic will help, you know, we'll be willing to provide that.
And a better drawing as far as what the parking would look like and so forth.
Mm-hmm. There's going to need to be some engineering. I mean,
some additional dimensions of some sort to give us a better idea of what you're looking at. Yeah, I would think.
You may lose that one parking place on the north side closest to the road in order to get parking spots through there, but you'd pick
one
up
of those
a whole bunch.
Maybe that's an optimum place to put a sign.
Yeah.
Move it up.
It looks like it's a doable thing. It's just you're going to have to kind of redo some engineering.
I don't think anybody doesn't want to work with you.
No.
But we just, I think, need more information.
And there's no problem to get you the information. This is an owner-occupied building. I'm there every day, so I'll make sure that the building looks nice and it's well kept, and this is really for just a growing office that needs more parking. So if you need a better drawing, this is just my cut and paste and put in a copier. We can go ahead and do that for you.
It seems like a dimensioned drawing is critical to this.
Sure.
Just to make sure that everybody knows what we're actually mm-hmm. approving.
Looking at for the future.
Yeah.
Something, and I don't know if you saw some of the other cases, but they're not you know, some of them aren't terribly detailed. They just have a few more.
Well, this is clearly not detailed. This is just a nice aerial view. So we can go ahead and get a more specific design and plan.
I didn't want you to think we're expecting you to go out and have an engineered site plan or something. Yeah. No.
Sure.
Do we want to defer the sign as well and just handle it all at once?
Yeah, we'll do that at one time next month's meeting.
I understand why.
Which is actually sooner than
I just wondered also if there's anyone here wishing to speak in opposition if you came to the meeting tonight.
No.
Seeing none. So anyway, if it's all right with you, sir, we'll defer it till the June meeting. And that's the second Thursday of the month.
We need a motion for that.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
I move we
defer case number 16027 to the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Second.
Motion and second. Call the roll, Lisa.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Wilder?
Yes. Case 16-027 at 4555 Utica Ridge Road has been deferred till the June meeting. Case 16-028 at 4287 Happiness Lane in R1 District. It's a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot-high fence and a required front yard submitted by Bob Bucher. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this site is in a newer subdivision. It's at the essentially accessible from 53rd Avenue up Tranquility and then Idaho Drive, and then you come down Happiness Lane until you essentially arrive at the residence, the proposed residence. This is the structure under construction at the present. And the petitioner would like to take the area here that's outlined in the pink, and I'm outlining in blue right now, and enclose that within a 6-foot-high fence. And as Mr. Sanksa noted in his report, there is a difference between 10,700 square feet being enclosed within the area in pink versus what normally would be permitted if there was the setback that was abided by, which would be 8,819 square feet. Staff, in looking at this proposal, does not see any hardship, so it's again a call you'll have to make on precedence based on what may have occurred in the past. And this will be out of the way. I believe that's already being taken out. It's just a silt pond right there, so that's immaterial.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? No comment, sir?
No, I'm Bob Bucher.
Okay.
Okay, we acquiesced here and actually.
Go to the podium, state your name and address and that, sir.
Yeah, we acquiesced here and actually built the fence according to code, or we thought we did. My contractor didn't measure on the back corner and is encroaching, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet for about 20 feet of the fence on the back. All of the rest of it is, well, you know, behind the southwest corner of that building and goes to the back. Rather than measuring, he sighted the fence with the house, and you can sort of see the way that integrity bent back, and it doesn't infringe on anybody's line of sight or anything. You know, it's just a mistake.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
Nope.
Okay. Anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, questions from the board for Mr. Bucher?
I would just say that we don't regularly approve the 6-foot fence at the 10-foot setback on regular residential streets. We've been doing that as a regular order of business for high traffic areas like Devil's Glen and
18th.
And 18th.
Northern 18th.
This is a sloping lot.
What?
I don't know if that has any effect on it or not, but it kind of slopes to that back area.
Well,
I just my comment. That's all. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Do we have other 8-foot fence or 6-foot fences, Greg, in other residential areas that are in town like this?
I mean, you do, but typically, again, they'd be facing a street. They'd be a collector street or an arterial. They tend to be in the rear yard or what would be two front yards. You'd have double frontage lot with one street on one side and then directly opposite on the other. You would have a fence up in a busier traffic area where you might grant that. I don't know. Mr. Connors is here now, and he may be able to speak to the permitting of this particular fence. I'm not quite sure what all occurred in that process.
Well, the fence was under construction without a permit. It encroached out into the required front yard on the southwest corner. Contractor was told to stop. If you went out to the site, you probably saw the area where he had not completed the fence, or hopefully he had not completed the fence. And so, you know, Greg's point is exactly right. We usually have these 6-foot high fences on through lots where you've got the front yard in the front in the back. I can think of one that we have approved a 6-foot high fence from a through lot that rolled around onto a residential neighborhood for a portion. You might remember that was within the last year, but this is not the normal course of action to approve these fences within these complete residential neighborhoods.
It's usually the 30-foot, right?
We just did approve the 6-foot fence on 18th Street, though, today.
So that's a higher traffic
yeah, higher traffic
as opposed
street,
to
yeah.
A, like.
I'm just mentioning commenting on it.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't have anything else to say.
If this happens, it's going to set a precedent.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Do you want a motion?
Well, we need a motion from someone.
I move we deny case number 16028 to allow a 6-foot high fence in the required front yard at 4287 Happiness Lane.
Is there a second?
Second.
And a motion and a second. Call the roll, Lisa.
Balk?
Present.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Balliger?
Yes. Case 16-028 at 4287 Happiness Drive in R1 District has been denied. Thank you, sir.
Sorry.
Case 16-029 at 17 Grove Park Circle in R5 District gets a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 22 feet to allow construction of an 8-by-14-foot deck submitted by Sheena Brockman. Is there, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this site is approached down Forest Grove Drive. Either you can come up Utica Ridge Road or Devil's Glen Road this direction and find yourself right here at the property. This will give you an idea of the encroachment area outlined in pink, or should say the deck area. And the encroachment area, pretty much right there. This is the setback line. The deck is out of the utility easement right here. This will give you a better understanding of the way that would look if it were added in. It's 8 feet by 14 feet. And this is the design that the petitioner has proposed for it with the staircase on it. Again, from what was cited in the report, the board has supported small encroachments into rear yards previously. And I would just say, in making your decision, consider the precedents that the board may have made in the past.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Please state your name and address, please.
Ken Brockman, 17 Grove Park Circle. Mm-hmm. For it. We're just putting a small deck on the back side. It's more of a landing deck because we need steps out the back to the patio. It's a small, it's not in the sight line of any of our neighbors.
It's right next to the golf course too, so yeah. Give you a better view.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there any questions from the board for the applicant?
I think this is different than one of the ones we had earlier because this is a deck. It's not a not part of the house.
Addition.
And it'll blend in well and it'll look nice. In fact, if their neighbor to the north wants to put one in, I wouldn't be opposed to that either. So that's my thought anyway. So.
We do have a homeowners association which has to approve the entire thing anyway.
Yeah, they'll have to approve it. What we do doesn't affect them. You just will have to fight that fight. So I don't have any problem with it at all.
Any other questions?
Yeah, this is a less substantial structure.
Right.
Any other questions from anyone?
I'll move that we approve case 16029, 17 Grove Park Circle, from a 25 to 22 foot setback in order for the construction of their deck.
Is there a second?
Second.
And a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher.
Yes. Case 16-029 at 17 Grove Park Circle in R5 District has been approved. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being patient and waiting through all this.
Perseverance Award.
You did a short straw tonight, didn't they?
You picked the wrong meeting, but that's what you got. You got what you wanted anyway. Good luck.
Thank you. I should give them an extra place.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
We are adjourned.